Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
Hear the word of the Lord, beginning a reading from the New Living Translation. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Let me read verse 12. In those days, when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found of you, verse 14 says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to stand before your people in this sacred space to declare the holy and living word of God. We thank you now that you will give to us exactly what is needed so that we might arrive at the place that is beyond here, the place that you have destined for us. We give you glory for it, even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 again says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I want to put a tag on the text this morning, and it is simply this. I want to put a tag on the text today, and it is simply this. Jeremiah 29 and 11, it's all in his plan. I know that in the moments that we currently live right now, the question that is before us all is, what's next? We desire, and we see this play out every single day now, for a return to normal. We want to return to normal even though we don't really know what normal will be. We desire in this return, we express a desire for what's familiar. We long for what we can control. We do this because the uncertainty and insecurity that we have felt for all of these months is absolutely too uncomfortable. Quite honestly, I am thankful that I have been able to live through this entire pandemic on two very simple principles. I will still cling to them in the pending post-pandemic setting. It is simply these. One, nothing catches God by surprise. I wish you would text that to somebody and encourage them and let them know nothing catches God by surprise. That's just the first principle. The second one is equally as powerful and poignant. Nothing can take away God's power. I mean, absolutely nothing. You might need to pick up the phone when the message is done and call someone and tell them that nothing catches God by surprise and nothing can take away God's power. Quite honestly, if you and I would have clung to these two principles from the moment we were introduced to a pandemic, we would have remained the calmest people throughout this entire ordeal. I'm convinced that, quite honestly, we should have been the most unaffected, the most unbothered, because if nothing else, the people of God knew that nothing could catch God by surprise, and we knew that nothing can take away God's power. But there are moments that come when we are unsure, when the situation carries elements that are too unfamiliar, we get worried. We tense up when our regular plan of action fails us. And sometimes we even forget how to pray. We forget to put on our garment of praise. We forget to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So we look for something to tide us over until God decides we have suffered enough. Too often, the only way we know how to stay encouraged in a situation is to hope for our exit. Yeah, I'm going to help you today. Sometimes that's the only thing we know how to do. We try our best to look outside of the situation that we're in and hope for the exit. But I came to tell you this morning, there are some situations that come, they don't come for you to just enjoy the blessing of an exit. No, they come for you to learn how to exist. I wish I had help right there. There are going to be, you ain't going to like me right here, but I promise you'll come back to me in a little while. There are going to be some situations that God will put you in that you absolutely do not like, but you positively cannot leave. I'm going to run that back for you again because you might have been scrambling eggs or something. Hear it one more time. There are some situations that God will put you in that you will not like them, but you cannot leave them. Yeah, let that rest in you for a moment, because that's exactly the situation that we encounter in Jeremiah chapter 29. The children of Israel, God's special people, have been released into captivity. God has determined to allow Israel's enemies to capture them. They've been taken hostage, forcefully removed from their homes, and everything that is normal to them, everything that they were in control of, has been replaced with a situation that they're not in charge of. They literally don't know what each day is going to bring. And so as a result, they've lost all hope. They are really in dismay, separated from what makes sense, disconnected, it feels, from their destiny. And here they are, left to wonder, where is God in all of this? It's a chaotic crisis, just like we have recently endured. And so the question becomes, where do I find encouragement when I feel like I'm in captivity? What do I do? What do I hold on to when the future is uncertain to me? How do I survive and arrive in a place that is beyond the moment that I am in right now? And not just survive, but how do I stay alive and thrive in that moment? I came to tell you that you need to know that God's got an intention that is beyond here. God's got a place. He's got a position for you that needs, it requires you to exist, and not just exist, but excel in the moment that you are in right now. Because if you do, here's what you're going to find out. You're going to find out that beyond here, God has a blessing with your name on it. Let me not move too fast. I want to tell you how it is that you can survive here in order to get beyond here. God's response to the children of Israel begins a few verses before verse 11, but verse 11 provides, if you will, the climax of his response. I know you know it. Hear it one more time. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Oh, to give you a future and a hope. Oh, that's good news to me, because what I just told you is that God has plans for you. Can I say that one more time? Maybe you were distracted with a phone call. God has plans for you. Here's what's great, because the text says God knows the plans. Well, to say he knows to the plans is to imply that he has plans. So it really could be stated otherwise. Hear the word of God. I have plans for you. God says to us this morning, I've got something in mind for you. I've got an idea about you. As a matter of fact, there's a picture, God says, that has been populated in my mind, and I've devised a scheme and a strategy to accomplish it. I have plans for you. That should be enough to make you happy right there. The reality is that God says, I've got a detailed proposal that I intend to accomplish what I desire to accomplish in your life. I've got a plan for you. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but this morning, you really need to understand that the plan of God for your life is a good plan. Yes, it is. It's a good plan, because God always has good good plans. You ought to high five somebody in the living room. Tell them God always has good plans. Let me remind you, he had plans for Israel so the Red Sea couldn't drown them. He had a plan for Daniel so the lions couldn't eat him. He had a plan for Jonah so the whale couldn't digest him. He had a plan for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego so the fire couldn't burn him. As a matter of fact, he had a plan for Jesus. That's why the cross couldn't kill him. The grave couldn't hold him, and the devil couldn't beat him. And that's why early Sunday morning, Lord, I'm happy already, he got up, because God always has a plan for you. And I know it's disconcerting, it's disheartening, because you may not know the plan, but God says, I know the plans, because the plans I have are mine. You may not know them, but I need to be able to rest in the one who is responsible to implement them. Because the one who is responsible to implement them has the strategy. He's got the scheme. He has the plan for our life. As a matter of fact, it's okay if you don't know God's plan. Oh, you ain't gonna like it. I'll run it back again. You should get close to the television, because you really need to grab this. Some of God's plans for you are on a need-to-know basis. And here's the reality. You don't need to know. Some of God's plans are not intended. They're not designed for you to be able to see A and B and C and D from the jump. No, some of God's plans are on a need-to-know basis. You don't need to know it until you are doing what God has just told you to do. The one who needs to know the plans is the one who has the plan, who can design the plan, the one who can make the plan come out in your life. God knows his plans for you. He does know his plans for you. And all of his plans, while they may not be on a need-to-know basis, all of God's plans are on a need-to-trust basis. Oh, why? I wish I had somebody to hear me, somebody that could shout right there that even when I don't know the plans, I can trust. Not necessarily the plans, because I don't know it, but I can trust the God who's got the plan. I can trust that God knows exactly what he's doing. I can trust that God's promises are always true. I can trust that God will not fail me. I can trust that he will not forget me. I can trust that he will not leave me. I can trust that he knows what's best for me, because he does. He really does. He knows what's best for me, because he's designed the plans. And hear it again. He says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Wait now. He goes on. He says, they are plans for good, oh God, and not for disaster. Hear that. Won't you please, one more time. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Now I got to give clarity right here, because you may have misread that. You may have read that and actually heard God's plans feel good. No, that's not what the text says. Because quite honestly, God's plans are for good, even when they don't feel good. I don't know what it is that has caused the body of Christ to believe that everything that God does has to bring comfort. What is it? What is it about us that we feel like everything God allows, everything God positions us in, everything that God brings into our experience is supposed to feel good? No, the people of God ought to understand what the psalmist says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers out of them all. We ought to know by now that comfort and convenience are not required for growth. Oh, God, help me. I wish I could say, I'm not going to even wish. I'm just going to say that one more time. We got to really come into grips with the fact that comfort and convenience are not required for growth. This ain't even in my notes, but let me just remind you that some of what helps us to grow is dirty. Some of what helps us to grow is stinks, because fertilizer stinks. Y'all ain't hearing me. The dirt is where we are planted. God doesn't promise that comfort and convenience are going to always be our lot. No, I heard the songwriter say, into each life, some rain must fall. It's got to get messy. But even when it doesn't feel good, God's plans are for good. It's for good, because every part of God's plan has a purpose. Every part of it, every part of God's plan has a purpose. Hear it, if you will, the good parts and the bad parts have a purpose in God's plan. Yes, sir. The parts that heal and the parts that hurt, they've got a plan in God's purpose. The parts that I understand and the parts that I don't understand, they've got a part in God's purpose, which really helps us to understand something, that even the mess I'm experiencing right now, the mess I last experienced, even though I tried to pray it away and I tried to tell people it was the devil, some of that was not the devil. Some of that was the plan of God. Some of that was actually intended. The devil had nothing to do with it. Some of it was God saying that in order for me to get them to where I want to get them to, I've got to let them go through what I need them to go through. But every part of God's plan has a purpose. And so there becomes this unique encouragement in the text. Now, you're going to have to read a few verses ahead of the verses that selected for preaching today. You got to read up a few verses, beginning around verse 5 to verse 7. And here's what you're going to find. You're going to find a part of God's plan that has a purpose, but it's uncomfortable. And here's God's instructions to them. He says to them in verses 5 through 7, quite honestly, settle into what's uncomfortable. Oh, my God. Watch the text. This is what he says to them. And you know he's saying it because in verse 4, Jeremiah the prophet, in this written prophecy that he sends back by courier, he says to them, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, verse 4, the God of Israel says to all of the captives he has exiled to Babylon from Jerusalem. Watch it. Verse 5, build homes. Plan to stay. Plant gardens, eat the food they produce, get married, have children, then find spouses for your children so you can have many grandchildren. Watch what he says. He says, multiply, do not dwindle away. And then don't be mad at where you are. No. Verse 7, he says, pray or work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile. Oh my. Pray to the Lord for it. Its welfare will determine your welfare. Oh God, God tells us something that we heard last year. He literally says, settle into what's uncomfortable. Y'all remember Dr. Fauci? Dr. Fauci told us something near the beginning of the restrictions in last year. Dr. Fauci told us to hunker down. Y'all remember that, don't you? Dr. Fauci said, here's what I need you to do. I need you to get comfortable in an uncomfortable place. I need you to not let the discomfort of the place that you are in cause you to not know how to live. He literally says to them, I want you to do everything you would normally do, even though where you're doing it, you don't like. Yes, God. I want you to be okay waking up and going to bed and being who you are in a place that you do not like. Oh, help me. God says, what I'm not going to do is bring you out too fast. What I want you to do is settle into what's uncomfortable, because even though it's uncomfortable, even though it doesn't feel good, even though you do not like it, this is a part of my plan. And as long as it's a part of my plan, you need to be comfortable in uncomfortable places. And I don't know about you, but I could really pause right here and shout, because the reality is that God doesn't need favorable circumstances to give me favor. God doesn't need me to be comfortable to bring me a blessing. God doesn't need me to enjoy where I am, to do something enjoyable in my life. I
serve a God who can bless me when I'm in the worst place that I've ever been in. I can serve a God who can help me when I feel like everything around me hurts. I serve a God who is able to bless me in uncomfortable places. Oh my God, I feel my help here now, but I got to quit. Every part of God's plan has purpose, so you got to settle into what's uncomfortable. Settle into that part of his plan, because no matter how bad it feels, God says, I'm still at work. As a matter of fact, when you hit verse 11 one more time, he tells them, it might seem disastrous, but it won't end in disaster. Oh God, as a matter of fact, he says to them, you are expected to live through it. God, can I encourage somebody right there that even though what you're dealing with, what you have seen, all of the experience you have had, maybe even during your birthday month, God said, I expect for you to live through it. Watch verse 7. He says, do not dwindle away. Don't allow the moments you must meander through the maze of uncertainty to cause you to die. Keep on living because I have a plan. Keep on living because even your pain has been contemplated. My God, I think I just said something. God says, I want you to be able to settle and do you because even your pain has been contemplated. It's already been thought about that you wasn't going to like it. It's already been thought about that you would have moments of doubt. It's already been thought about the fact that your faith would get weak. It's been thought about that you were going to think I was working against you. God says, I've already contemplated that you was just really going to be mad at me. And even that is a part of the plan. Oh, we got to get out of here. Watch this. Watch this. God says, here's the plan. I know you're wondering, but here's the plan. Let me read verse 11 one more time. He says, for I know the plans I have for you. Yes, God, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Oh, that's it right there. I don't know if you saw it, but I'll run it by you one more time. Maybe you didn't. He says, I know the plans I have for you. They are plans for good and not for disaster, comma, to give you a future and a hope. Okay. In every translation, because the original Greek intends it, or the original Hebrew intends such, that there is a punctuated pause between what is to be experienced and what is to be expected. Yeah, let me write it back for you. There is a punctuated pause. You see the comma after disaster? And then there's a pause. And then it continues. There is a punctuated disconnect between the experience and the expectation. Let me run it for you. Let me help you get it. Watch this. If you're taking notes, there are at least four parts to this one lesson that we have to grab. There's a declaration. There's a description. Disaster is included, but the destination is secure. Let me help you see it. There's the declaration. God says, I know what I'm thinking about you. That's what he says. That's the declaration. That's the bold print. That's the sign on the marquee. I know the plans I have for you. Watch this. Here's the description. They're good plans. Yes, they are. They are for good. For good, which means that evil is not a part of the description of the plan. It might be a part of the experience, but the plan itself is good. And here, know this, disaster is included. It is. It's not a disaster no matter how it feels. Even though it looks disastrous, it's not a disaster because the plan is good. That's the description. And God has already declared, I know the plans I have for you. But then there's a pause. Because you need to settle now into the fact that the declaration, the description, and the disaster is really just the setup because the destination is still secure. Here's the destination. The plan is the future and the hope that I want to give you. God, I feel like running right now. He says to them, I got plans for you. They're good plans. They're not going to bring evil. They're not intended for evil, but the plan is to give you a future and a hope. That's the plan. I don't know if you see that, but that punctuated pause tells us that God really could have said that I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope, because the future and the hope is the plan. The plan is to secure what follows the moment that you are in right now. The plan is to give you something to look forward to. The plan is to give you a desire that exceeds your disaster. That's the plan. The plan is to get you from here to beyond here, because beyond here is the realization of all that you have hoped for. The plan is to do everything that I have promised you. I said the plan is to turn this whole thing around. I wish I had one helper who would shout right where you are that is the plan. That God has a plan for me that's bigger and better than what I'm going through right now. That's the plan. God's got a plan for me that even though I'm in an uncomfortable place, he can still bring joy in my morning. That's the plan. God says, I've got a plan for you to give you a future and to give you hope. I've got an expectation for you. That's the plan. He told me to tell you, Pima, that everything you've seen and everything you're going through right now, it's all a part of the strategy to bring you to the ultimate plan. But what's the plan? The plan is that you would have a future. The plan is that you would have a hope. I wish I had one witness. He said you'll have joy in the morning, even though you're crying at night. That's the plan. You'll have hope, even when you feel hopeless. That's the plan. You'll have help when you've been dealing with sorrow. That's the plan. I wish somebody right where you are would tell your neighbor, God's got a plan, and it means that beyond here, the plan comes to fruition. Beyond here, things get better. Beyond here, there's restoration. Beyond here is the fulfillment of God's plan for my life. I wish I could pull on the Apostle Paul, because here's how he would tell you to deal with the strength scheme and how to handle God's strategy on your way to God's plan. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It might not feel good, but it's gonna be good. Shout yes. Shout yes, shout yes, because the plan of God for my life is real, it's real, real good. And that's why the hymn writer said, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will. I said, God will take care of you. Have a good day, Pima. Be encouraged in the Lord that God's got a plan, and the plan of God for you is beyond here. He's got a plan. He's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. Oh God, he's got a plan for you. The struggle is not the plan. The struggle is a part of the strategy to bring you to the plan. The plan is beyond here. The plan of God for your life. Here it is. It's a future. Yes, sir. It's a hope. God says, what I got in mind for you, yeah, the picture that has populated in my mind, God says, it's future and hope, which means don't let now kill you, because God says my plan is next.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety for a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.